Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. I'm Pastor John. It's great to be with you here this morning. Even though we're not here together in the sanctuary, we are still together as a congregation of Emmanuel when we come together on a Sunday morning to worship God. And we worship an awesome God as we enter into the new month of May. Spring is here. Things are greening up. And let's hope it gets a little warmer and a little nicer weather that you can at least get out and enjoy the weather. So that would be nice. We have been working through reading Scripture together, all of us, working through the New Testament. There's been a few requests from some of the members of the congregation of Emmanuel, why can't we read some Old Testament? So I'm asking you for the month of May, would you please join me in reading Genesis and Exodus? We can come together and read them, and hopefully as we continue to meet together, I would like to maybe have some messages on some of the earlier books of the Old Testament. We gather this morning, we worship an awesome God. We worship a God who loves us no matter what's going on in the world today, no matter what's going on in our life. God loves us, and we read so from Psalm 100, we read, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." What a wonderful psalm that gives us so many hopes and promises and joys, and it's no matter what we're going through, praise God. Let us come before God in time of prayer. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you promise to hear us. When we pray to you in his name, we are confident of your love and mercy, and so this morning we offer you our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would empower the church throughout the world in its life and witness. We ask that you break down the barriers that divide so that united in your truth and love, the church may confess your name, that we may share in one baptism and sit together at one table and serve you in one common ministry. Lord, in your mercy, we ask that you hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, we ask that you guide the rulers of our nations. Move them, Father, to set aside their fear and their greed, their vain ambitions, and may they bow to your sovereign rule. Inspire them to strive for peace and justice, that all your children may dwell secure, free from war and injustice. Father, we think of what's going on in the world today and with COVID and what's happening, not only here in North America, but we see what's happening in India. And throughout the world, Father, perhaps maybe where it is not being reported. Father, there is so much struggle and strife, so much pain, so much agony, so much death, Father. We ask that people will come to you, that people respond to the good news of the gospel, and instead of placing hope in their accomplishments and their ambitions and their goals, Father, that they have their hope in you. Father, we pray that this will end. We thank you, Father, for those who are serving, those who are working as doctors and nurses and teachers, and those who come home at the end of the day after being exposed to so many people and the potential of COVID, Father. We ask that you protect them. Hear our prayers. Father, we think of the world. We hear the cries of the world's hungry and those who are suffering. Father, if we think of how North America and Europe is, we consume most of the earth's resources that will... So we pray, Father, help us to reorder our lives that all may have the rightful share of food, medical care, shelter, so that all may have the necessities of life of dignity. Father, we ask that you restore among us a love of the earth that you've created for our home. Help us to put the end to the ravishing of its land and air and waters, and give us respect for your creatures, that living in harmony with everything that you have made, may your whole creation resound in the anthem of praise to your glorious name. Father, renew our nation in the ways of justice and peace. We ask that you guide those who make and administers our laws, who strive to build a society based on trust and respect. We ask that you erase the prejudices that oppress. Free us from crime and violence. Guard our youth from the perils of drugs and materialism. Give all citizens a new vision of life of harmony. Hear our prayers, Father. We ask that you strengthen this congregation here at Emmanuel in its work and in its worship. Fill our hearts with your self-giving love, that our voices may speak your praise, not only here on Sunday, Father, but throughout the every day of the week. May our lives be conformed to the image of your Son. Continue, Father, to nourish us with your holy word as we spend time in reading. And when we come together to celebrate the sacraments, Father, continue to nourish us as well. May we faithfully minister in your name and witness of your love and grace to all the world. Lord, we look on compassion to all those who suffer. Support them with your love, Father. Those who have incurable diseases, those who are unjustly imprisoned, those who are denied dignity, those who live without hope, those who are homeless and abandoned, Father, as you move us toward us in love, so let us be present with them in their suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, sustain those among us, Father, in the congregation, in our families, who need your healing touch. Make the sick whole. Give hope to those who are struggling. Comfort those who mourn. Uphold those, Heavenly Father, who suffer in body and mind, not only those we know and love, but those who are known only to you, that they may know the peace and joy of your supporting care. O God, in your loving purpose, we ask that you answer our prayers, you fulfill our hopes in all things which we pray. Give us the will to seek to bring them about, for the sake of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning. We have two passages of Scripture. We'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. And then we have one verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. But first reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Before we read God's holy word, let us take a moment and pray. God of all history, we thank you for the Bible. Through your word, we learn that you love your people dearly. And we learn that we are your people. Thank you for your word that shapes our identity. Thank you for your word that gives us hope for the future. And as your word is read and preached, we ask that you send your Spirit among us so that we can know our role in your ongoing work in our world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15, the word of the Lord. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing with many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of your surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And our second passage of Scripture is a short one. It's from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. The message I bring you this morning is entitled, The Harvest Law. And I'm preaching this message. This message came to me because it's the time of year when farmers and gardeners and people are out looking to plant gardens, plant flowers, and as we're seeking to have nicer weather planting crops. It's one of those appropriate messages that just strikes me every year when we're preparing the soils and that we need to think about the harvest law. I'm not sure whether you've followed this or not or know this, or probably you have experienced it, I'm sure, but over the years, there have been a few intrepid folks who've tried to prove that through various means, humans can fly. I don't think that too many people have challenged that law of gravity. We have over the years maybe tripped and stumbled and fell, and the law of gravity is really accurate. When we fall, we hit the ground, and it hurts. But we take the law of gravity as a non-negotiable law, and we live accordingly. There's nothing we can do to change the law of gravity. So what it is, we learn to live with it, we learn to benefit from it, and definitely try to avoid the consequences of breaking it. But unfortunately, most people, and Christians included, do not take the spiritual laws as seriously as they do God's physical laws. One spiritual law that's clearly stated is in Scripture is the harvest law. And as it is, I said earlier, that is the title of this sermon. It's that law that's found in its simplest form in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We read, do not be deceived, God will not be mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Does the law of gravity only affect Christians? Of course not. Neither does the harvest law. God's laws are universal. They apply to all human beings. Came across this little story and I found it interesting, and it applies to the message that we have today. But in 1992, when Los Angeles was rocked by riots, the losses of business and property amounted to billions of dollars. And even today, with the amount of rioting that has gone on in the U.S. over the last couple of years, there was an interesting statistic somebody noted. And he said, all McDonald's restaurants were spared by rioters. Why? Seemed odd. When other businesses were completely burnt to the ground or destroyed. Well, he concluded that studies have determined that McDonald's had contributed so much to the lower economic communities, not only with food, but with jobs as well, financial investments in sports and inner city programs. And if you think about this, it's the harvest law at work. McDonald's gave to the community, and I'm not standing here this morning promoting McDonald's, although with four kids, we probably could own our own McDonald's. But McDonald's gave to the community, and the community spared McDonald's and his riots. They reaped what they have sown. Though the harvest law is stated most succinctly in Galatians 6, 7, it's best explained in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15, which we've read this morning. And as we look closely at this passage today, we will see that there are four principles and six results and one great example of the harvest law at work. All four principles have to do with the relationship that exists between sowing and reaping. The investment. We only reap if we sow. Paul makes the assumption in verse 6. He says, sowing is taking place. It seems so logical and apparent that it was almost unnecessary to mention, but many people will wonder why they haven't been reaping a harvest in their life. And it may be because they've not been sowing that to which they want to reap. Okay, here's a quick little lesson, Corn Planting 101. If a farmer wants to harvest corn in the fall, then the one thing in the world that will make it happen, planting corn in the spring. It's the harvest law. It cannot be violated. The farmer takes his seed and he saves it in the spring and he puts it in storage and goes in every few weeks to have a look at that seed and never put it in the ground, then he will never, ever have a harvest of corn at all. If he takes those kernels and plants them, then the kernel become a plant. That plant will produce an ear of corn, and the resulting kernel will produce approximately, due to many different factors, but close to 800 kernels. It's very much similar to if you're planting beans in your garden or potatoes as well. You put the potato in the garden with the eye, the plant grows, you harvest potatoes. Jesus touched on this principle in John 12, 24, saying, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it produces much grain. Jesus was talking specifically about the death, burial, and resurrection to new life. But the principle is the same. We have to sow in order to reap. Failure to observe God's harvest law may be one of the reasons why wealth brings so little joy to those who have it. You see, joy comes from sowing, giving, investing. What God has given in ways that bring returns that benefits others and glorify Him. We look at it from the idea of the identity. We reap only what we sow. This principle says that we reap exactly the same kind as we sow. Paul expresses this in Galatians 6, 8. Whoever sows, he says, to please their flesh, and from flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Farmer plants corn, he's going to get corn. If you plant carrots, you're going to get carrots. If you grow flowers and you plant daisies, you're going to get daisies, and so on. You cannot expect to get anything different in the harvest than that which was planted in the sowing. So if I am an angry or bitter person, sowing anger and bitterness into others' people's lives, then anger and bitterness is what I am going to reap from them. I cannot sow criticism and expect to get understanding. I cannot sow anger and expect to get peace. I can't have any friends if I don't sow friendship. Let's look at it from the aspect of an increase. We reap more than we sow. This principle says we will reap more than we sow. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God will multiply the seed what we have sown. Think about it for a moment. What would the world of agriculture be like if each fruit or vegetable contained one seed that had to be replanted each year? In order to get one more piece of produce. That is the miraculous nature of God's harvest law, is that we reap many times more than we sow. Like I said earlier, when the farmer sows one kernel of corn, he gets a stalk. Quite often there are one or two ears on that stalk. Each cob contains approximately 700 kernels. He harvests hundreds of times more than what he has sown. Luke 6:38 is a key verse in this regard. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured over into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." If we sow generously, we're going to reap generously. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible to outgive God. Please note this. This is not a negotiation with God. This is a harvest law. It's a done deal, to use business terms. Just as the law of gravity is not negotiated when a child kicks the ball up into the air, so the harvest law is not renegotiated when you give generously to God. Paul uses those words, abound, abundance, bountifully, and others in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, to show just how generous God does his part in the harvest law. And his bounty is not just realized in money. Don't get caught up in that. The blessings of God comes in many ways. You see, when we invest kindness, love, money, ministry, each one of them, there will be an increase. The other term, there's an interval. We reap later than we sow. Galatians 6:9 says, "In due season we shall reap." In due season is key. There is a season for sowing and there is a season for reaping, and they will be separated by the passage of time. Suppose a farmer plants his corn in the morning, goes home for lunch, then comes back in the afternoon to check on the progress of his crop, and then he goes back to his wife and complains, "Well, nothing's happening. The corn isn't growing." Or perhaps you go to your garden and you plant your potatoes that morning and you come back by after lunch and you too see that your potatoes haven't grown. It's comical, of course. But hold on a moment. May not be after lunch, but it might be after a few days. I know we're that kind of people, how we farm. We dig up a kernel after a few days and we see if it's sprouted. And then after a few more days, we dig another up to check its progress. And then we really get excited when we see the corn finally starting to peek through the soil. And that happens for us. And I know it happens for pretty much every farmer and every gardener who plants something. Comical, yes, but it's just how it is. But in the world of gardening and agriculture, who sets the time gap between sowing and reaping? God does. Nature does. Or the genetic instructions contained in each individual seed. But in the spiritual realm, who controls the timetables? God does. Of course. Just as every seed has its own timetable, so every spiritual act has its own gap between reaping and sowing, as worked out by God. Ask yourself this question. How has God's timetable worked out in your life? We all have a timetable. Have you seen God working in that? Or did you just live your life as Frank Sinatra's famous song that said, "I did it my way"? When I was studying at Tyndale in the main hall, there's a timeline how God had worked forward bringing that school to where it is today. It was part of the cohort that moved into the newer facilities, and many of the professors who taught at Tyndale often said they didn't do it as a job. They saw it as a calling as they were advancing the kingdom of God. Just doing that small part of bringing it forward day by day. One of my professors, who could have easily retired 20 years ago, continued to teach even though he was over 80 years of age. When he asked why he kept going, he said, "I want to equip. I want to see the work that my former students are doing for Christ, both in ministry and in their secular fields." He said he's been doing this for so many years that now he's beginning to reap the harvest of intensive sowing. "In due time," he said, "I slowly began to see the fruit of my labors." As I said, he taught for over 60 years, and he said it might seem like a long time, but he said, "Some harvests take more time than others. Our responsibility is being faithful to being the harvest." Let's look at the products of God's harvest law. As a farmer produces, he reaps, he produces fruits, vegetables, grains from his sowing, so we reap products from ours. We prosper spiritually and financially in 2 Corinthians 9:10. God supplies, he multiplies the seed you've sown, increases the fruits of your righteousness. As we give to the Lord, he multiplies what we have. It's not just a promise to our financial, but our spiritual welfare as well. God promises to increase the fruits of righteousness. As we sow financially into the kingdom of God, we are blessed with the increasing spiritual maturity as well as having our own financial needs met. Another point is that we prove our love for God in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Paul says that generosity of the Corinthian believers will cause people to glorify God as they see the sacrifice of those who confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it is one thing to say that we love Jesus, but it's another thing to give sacrificially in his name. Try this next Christmas. Instead of demonstrating your love for your spouse by giving him or her a wonderful gift, just say, "I love you. I tell you that all the time, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas." If you're not out of that doghouse by next Christmas, then I'll be surprised. You see, talk doesn't satisfy actions. When we demonstrate our love for God by sowing sacrificially, we bring glory to him by showing our love for him. We provide for those in need, 2 Corinthians 9:12. When the Corinthians gave towards the needs of the church in Jerusalem, their gifts supplied the needs of the saints. That's exactly what our gifts to God does. Directly or indirectly, together all over the world, if you give to your church, your gifts go to provide ministries to children, young people, adults. Either through your church or through your denomination or through the mission agencies, your gifts send support missionaries all over the world. Other gifts go directly to individuals or families who are in crisis or who have significant needs. You see, God puts money into our hands so we can channel those funds in a multitude of directions to meet the needs of the people, all in the name of Christ and all for the sake of the gospel. We provoke many thanksgivings to God in 2 Corinthians 9, verses we see this in 11, 12, and 15. When we give financially for the sake of the gospel, we begin this chain reaction of thanks that rebound to God, from whom all good and perfect gifts flow, as James writes in James chapter 1, verse 17. We give our money on Sunday at the church. Part of it goes to the mission agency. The mission agency then sends support funds to their missionaries. These missionaries then use some of those funds to meet the spiritual, material needs of those to whom they are ministering to. And all along the chain of events, when this happens, watch this closely. People are giving thanks to God. You thank Him for His provisions. The church leaders do. The mission leaders do. The missionaries do. And those who are ministered to give thanks to God. So your single gift results in a multitude of thanks giving to God. We promote prayer on our behalf in 2 Corinthians 9:14. Those who are blessed by our giving pray to God for us, thanking Him for His grace at work in our lives and praying that our needs will be met. This is what those in Jerusalem did for the Corinthians and the Macedonians who contributed to their needs. There are people all over the world who pray for the church, your church, because of the ministry the church is having in their lives. And those ministries are the result of our gifts which we sow faithfully. We purchase greater opportunities to give again in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." When we give, God blesses us. And when He blesses us, we have adequate supply to give again. And the sowing and reaping cycle continues to repeat itself. God doesn't bless us so we can hoard His gifts in our lives, that we can hoard His blessings for ourselves. He blesses us so we can pass on the blessing as long as we continue to sow. That cycle of blessing continues. But the cycle of blessing can be broken the day we decide to clasp our fingers tightly around what God has given us. Not only does the sowing stop, but the reaping stops as well. The perfect example of God's harvest law is found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Hebrews 2:10 says that God is going to bring many sons to glory. How did He do that? By sowing His one and only Son into this world where He died and was raised to new life. Like a single seed sown into the ground that results in many seeds harvested, Jesus Christ became the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:29. God's own practice of the harvest law becomes a pattern for us to follow in our lives, sowing and reaping for eternal profit. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to see that, you see? We might say, well, if I make this donation, then I'm going to have less money. If I volunteer this time, if I contribute this energy, these things, then I won't be able to do that anymore. That'll take up too much of my time. Really? My giving is a loss. It cuts into my bottom line, whether the bottom line is of my bank account or my personal schedule. And yet it is God who turns everything upside down. When we show our gratitude in concrete ways, He gives us even more to be thankful about. When we sacrifice to His glory, He makes sure we have even more than we had before. As Thomas Watson once wrote, the interest comes to infinitely more than the principal. It's like what Paul said, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Scattering a lot of seed results in a big harvest. Giving much to the Lord leads to a bigger share of His blessing. That doesn't become the reason we give, but His promise holds true. Those who cheerfully give will never have less reason to rejoice, but always have one more reason. Be faithful with what you receive. Be prayerful about what you need. Be open about what you're doing. For then our eyes get open to how God provides. We learn to value His gifts. We learn to trust God to keep sending them. We can rejoice in our giving. in all blessings that come from serving other people. A person with the Spirit realizes that it is a gift to serve. It's a gift to give. These are God's works within us. Are your hands open, sharing what God's given you, sowing into the work of Christ? A grace-empowered ministry brings glory to God, it unifies the body of Christ, and then it reaches out to all mankind. I encourage you, be part of God's irrefutable harvest law for your good, the good of others, and for the glory of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Sometimes so many of us go sleepwalking through life, going through the motions, sowing to flesh, frittering away our opportunities, and ignoring the needs around us. Teach us to count our days. Teach us to make our days count. Wake us up, Lord. Shake us up. Do whatever it takes to get our attention. Help us to get busy living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to please rise for the blessing. Receive the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.